It's live expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Elise Glink Show. It's Sunday, and I find myself drawn, as many of you are, to all of the coverage going on Newtown and the Sandy Hook Elementary School. And I find that as I'm watching the coverage and I'm reading about it, that I'm just absolutely sick to my stomach. And I'm sure that all of you feel exactly the same way. Because this is just an incomprehensible tragedy a few days before Christmas. I'm looking at the faces of these lovely little boys and girls, and my heart's breaking. I think about my own kids. I know you're thinking about your kids. And I know, you know, this isn't, I don't want to get into a whole discussion about, you know, guns kill people versus people kill people. It's just not the point right now. It's not, and this is obviously not the show. Everybody's got their own views on this, as they do on so many politicized topics. But I think we can all agree on one thing, and I'm sure many of you who are in church today or just leaving church and joining us on the show have been listening to your own pastors talk about senseless tragedy and how if all of us would just focus on living and a little less on making a point, it would all be just a happier place to be, this world. It's devastating, absolutely devastating. So I don't know what I wanted to talk about today and where I'm going with this is I wanted to talk about New Year's resolutions. So, of course, this being nearly the end of the year, I always do a New Year's resolution show. Usually I do a couple of them, sometimes filling in for Clark. This year, not so much. We're going on vacation for 2 weeks. I'm very excited about that. But this tragedy has made me rethink how I wanted to frame New Year's resolutions. And I think for all of us, New Year's resolutions, you know, there's always the diet and the money diet, right? We talk about that. I've talked about that on this show maybe for the last 13, 14 years. I don't even know how long I've been doing this show. Somebody out there probably remembers, and you can call in and let me know. But, you know, money diet and regular diet, food diet, are the staples of January New Year's resolutions. I would say about 80% of New Year's resolutions are framed around that way. And then on this show, we talk about real estate resolutions for home buyers and home sellers and personal finance resolutions I think everybody should follow. But there's something in me today that makes me think, well, we need something else. We're facing such big things right now. You know, the fiscal cliff, terrifying. We've just been through an insane year, 5-6 years, right, of what feels like recession to almost everybody in the country. And here we go into a new year, and I want this new year to be meaningful. I want it to be meaningful for you in a financial way. I want it to be meaningful for you in an emotional way. I want this year to be a better year. And a year ago, I sat here at the microphone and I told you that we were going to be turning the tide and making the move, and we have, to a degree. Unemployment is down, labor participation is down, that's not so good, but unemployment rate is down. Even the U6, which is in my mind the true measure of unemployment, has come down a little bit. That's actually very, very good news. But we're not there yet. And the fiscal cliff is scaring people, and you hate to hear CEOs of companies go on the air and say things like, we're not hiring anybody because we don't know if we're going to have to fire people, like January 4th. So the uncertainty is still there. People are scared. And it's been a very worrying time. I was looking at the rest of the news this week and thinking to myself, you know, the stock market goes up, the stock market goes down. We see, you know, the effects of the recession. I mean, the whole hostess thing where all those people got laid off and they couldn't make it work. And, you know, the money that was supposed to be put towards the pensions got sucked away and used to, you know, manage day-to-day operations. I mean, you see news reports like that. And then here we have this terrible tragedy. And then some idiot in Southern California goes to a shopping mall and fires 50 shots in the air. What's that about? I don't know. I want 2013 to be a better year. I want to have fewer of these kinds of things to talk about on a Sunday morning. I want to talk about how you can make your life better this year. My New Year's resolution is to continue to find ways to help you do more with your money. It's been the mission of my career. It's plastered on my website. It's something that I know everybody here thinks about every single day. You think about it every day. And you tell me, because you email me, you tweet me, you LinkedIn me. You know, you leave a comment on a website, you go to the Equifax Finance blog. I'm hearing you. I know you don't have all the answers yet. And so my New Year's resolution is to try and find a way to deliver more of those answers to you in video that you can watch online, whatever you like, in podcasts maybe, better newsletters, different format. We're going to redo thinklink.com. We're going to bring back our events. There'll be more ebooks, things that you can take advantage of so that you can take this information home whenever it's convenient for you. Yes, I want you to listen on Sunday mornings, absolutely, but I want you to have the tools you need to improve your life. My other New Year's resolution is to try and find a way to just help in general, and I hope all of you who are listening today will take this to heart, because I know that everybody, Atlanta's really sort of an amazing community, right? The South is also, but, you know, I know you guys best. And, you know, every week I hear of amazing things that you do to help people and help communities. I see it firsthand when we all pitch in for our Aflac Cancer Center Carathon every year, right, in August. And the outpouring of love for these children who have had cancer, just, it so deeply affects me. I tell you every year, these are my two favorite days of work on the station. It's absolutely true. It doesn't feel like work. It feels like the right kind of give back. It's a give back not just to life, but the idea, the possibility that something amazing, this cancer center, will be there for all of us who need it at some point in time, if we ever do. And if we don't, we're going to all know somebody who does. I'm also, on a personal level, going to take more time to smell the roses. It's been a very busy year. I've traveled over 80,000 miles. By the time this year ends, I've traveled 80,000 miles in airplane miles. And it's just crazy. And so this year, my New Year's resolution is to try and do more with less flying. I'm going to still be out there seeing everybody, but I really don't want to be executive platinum on American this year. I've just made platinum. That's enough travel on American. Plus, you add in all the other airlines that I've been on the road nonstop. I was in San Francisco week before last. I spent 3 days in Atlanta. I'm back in Chicago. I'm all over the place. I'm going to personally try to do more with less so that I can spend more time with the people I love. And that's really what this whole horrible tragedy, to give you a big circle, has brought back for me in just such a shocking way. We're only given the time we're given, and we have to make the most of what we have. And like you, I love my kids, and I love my husband, Sam. And you want to just spend whatever time you have with the people who matter the most in your life. And I was explaining this to my mother. She was asking me why I didn't invite some distant relative to our big Hanukkah party on Friday night. And I said, he's just not that meaningful in my life, Mom. You know, he matters to your life, so you invite him to your house. But I want the people around me who make me feel the closest to my family, who make me just feel the best. And something like this tragedy, you just want to take all that love and all those people, and you want to wrap them around you. So I don't know if you want to talk today about Newtown and Sandy Hook Elementary School and what that means to you. I'm happy to do that for a while. 404-872-0750. I'm also happy to talk about New Year's resolutions, because that is what I had planned for today. So 1-800-WSB-TALK, 404-872-0750. You can tweet me your thoughts. I haven't launched anything on Twitter yet this morning, but I sure will momentarily. At Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, and thanks to the 80 people who followed me this week, because that pushed us over the edge. We're now at 5,000 followers, so thank you very much. We're going to talk about all that, and I will do, at least if next hour, if we end up doing a lot of conversation about this hour, I will talk about New Year's resolutions, and in fact, maybe I'll start that in just a moment or two and kick it off. Well, I kind of did already. Some more sort of housekeeping tips. Next week, we have another tax show. As I said, I'm going to be out of town for a couple weeks, taking some nice vacation, but I don't want you to not have new information, and there's so much going on with the fiscal cliff and taxes. And as we get March closer and closer, it's much more likely we are going to tip over the edge. Even if, I mean, where are we now? It's like December 13th, 14th. I mean, what is today's date? It's so far late in the calendar. God, it's already the 16th. I don't know where the days are going. Oh, I know. It's just stacked up holiday parties. That's what this weekend is. I don't know how, with just under 2 weeks left, or it's about 2 weeks left till the beginning of the year, there's no way the IRS could get all the new forms ready. So even if Congress found a way to move this week, and what do they have, a couple of days left if they're going to get anything done, there's so much stuff to be decided just on a tax basis. And we talked about it a few weeks ago with Bill, Mary, and Chet, our enrolled agent tax advisors. They're going to come back, and we're going to do a show next weekend that just takes a deeper dive and looks at what happens if we actually go over and all the tax cuts expire. Because I think we're hearing a little bit more about how it could unroll. And what's going to end up happening is everybody who files their tax returns in January may just have to wait until February, because I don't think the tax forms are going to reflect it. Or if you file, you're then going to have to refile or file an amendment, an amended return, which is just going to be a colossal headache for everybody. So I thought it would be good to have Bill, Mary, and Chet come back in the show on Sunday and talk a little bit about that so that we can get it all happening. All right. Let me throw out the phone number again. Lines are wide open. I am happy to talk about anything. Mortgage interest rates, another record low this week. You want to talk about the school shooting? Happy to talk about that. New Year's resolutions. It's a busy show. So, you know, it's the end of the year. What can I tell you? 404-872-0750. We're going to hear a little bit from Rhonda Duffy coming up next, and then we'll take your calls starting in just after the news, weather, and traffic. I'm Elise Glink. You're listening to AM 750, now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, can't a baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. We've got with us Rhonda Duffy of Duffy Realty of Atlanta with our real estate insight. Welcome back, Rhonda.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so I want to get as much money as I can for my house. I'm going to sell it. I really, and it's so important for so many people. Well, it's so important these days, right? Everybody's underwater or close to being underwater or just coming out of underwater. How do you get the most money?
You be clever.
Clever is good.
Now, look, we've done this for years. People love this. If a seller takes the time to do this one step, they will get paid more money. And that is that buyers have objections that they want covered when they come to visit the home. But in Atlanta and in many places across the country, the buyer's agent probably is showing up to the house the first time as well as the buyer the first time. So they don't have the answers for these people. Why are these people moving? How many kids do they have? Is this neighborhood social? Where's the this or that, right? And although we take our buyers door to door to talk to the neighbors with seven key questions, three sets of neighbors, most agents don't do that. So the key that the seller has to do is cover it with what we call a love letter. So in the love letter, they write about how the home has impacted their life, about their lifestyle, about the neighborhood. They seal these letters up, they sign it, they seal it up, and they put it on their marketing table. They say, to potential buyer. Okay? The buyer opens it, and see, a buyer tags every house they go to see with. Well, that was the green carpet house. Well, that was the great basement house. That was the letter house. Okay? Size that up to creating emotion, but also the next step that you can do is get your neighbors to write about how they feel in the neighborhood and stick that into the envelope. That'll pay you money.
Sounds like it. That is a really great, unique idea. I've never heard that before, and I think it would work in spades.
It works, and it's very powerful, and buyers just want to know it's okay to buy this house. We love it.
Right. They want to know why if you love it, why would you sell? And this gets over that hump, which
right.
is such a great thing. Have you got some more details up on your website?
Of course. For all of your listeners, of course I do. RhondaDuffy.com.
Sounds good. For Rhonda's blog today. Thanks so much, Rhonda. Next week?
We'll see you next week.
All right. Sounds good. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at ThinkGlink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
36 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. We can dream all we want about a white Christmas, but it isn't happening, at least not yet, unless you live in Minnesota, where they had lots of snow this week. 404-872-0750 is our number, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Overall, we're talking about New Year's resolutions. I'd love to know what some of yours are. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online all the time, the website thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. I've started tweeting. I'm at Glink. If you're not following the conversation, you are missing half of it. I know, it's amazing. Online and on Twitter all at the same time. And we're definitely going to take some calls, starting right now at 37 minutes past the hour. Steve joins us on the line from Atlanta. Steve, happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
Thank you.
I have a question. It's about, I guess, IRS, the way they look at. Well, just to give you background, I have a property that I was able to enter a settlement with the mortgage company, and they forgave a big portion of the loan.
Is this a primary residence or an investment property or what?
Yeah, primary residence.
Okay.
I don't stay there anymore. But
all right, let's back up again.
Okay.
Is it your primary residence? This is the place that you live more than half the year. This is the place you've declared to the IRS as your primary residence, or it was your primary residence in this year sometime?
Well, yes. Portion of this year it was.
Okay. So.
And,
So what happened next?
Okay, so I was behind on the payment. So the way it works was I entered into a settlement where I paid them a cash payment, and then they forgave a large portion of the mortgage.
Okay.
And so my question is, like, how does the IRS look at the forgiven amount? Like, I've been trying to research it because I've seen some places where they say it looks as it as a cash gift, and you have to, pay taxes on the amount forgiven. Like, how does that work?
Well, the reason I asked you whether it was a primary residence or like a vacation home or an investment property, is that is the key differential. That's okay. What the IRS looks at. So this year, and it all ends December 31st, so thankfully you got this done.
Okay.
Up through December 31st, the IRS will look at payments that were forgiven, debt that was forgiven, as it, they do look at it as a gift, but it is not taxable this year.
Wow.
Only for primary residences. So what the mistake that people are making is thinking, oh, my investment property, the bank forgave $50,000. Well, the IRS looks at that as a gift or income, and it's income that's taxed at your marginal tax rate.
Okay.
So if you're in the 25% bracket and you get a $50,000 add-on to your income, according to the IRS, you're going to pay at least 25% of that unless it bumps you into the next highest thing, and then you're going to make 28% or whatever that is on that $50,000.
Okay, so it's based on whether
which would stink.
Your primary residence. Okay.
If it's your primary residence. Now, all of this ends December 31st unless the government extends it, and there's some pushing going on from the real estate industry, which used to be the strongest lobby in Washington, though they haven't had much traction lately, to continue this because there are millions more people who are in the same situation you're in, way underwater. And there's some concern in Washington that if we do go over the fiscal cliff, there's going to be a recession. I've been saying that all year, that we're going to have another recession coming soon, maybe in 2013. And then more people are going to be in your situation because property values will decline again before they go up again. So that's kind of the bigger picture. But for you, you just have to make sure that there are no state ramifications for you. But but the IRS is going to forgive it.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Oop, I'm sorry. Hang on 1 second. I just clicked off. What were you saying?
Oh, just happy holidays again is all I was saying.
Thank you, and happy holidays to you as well.
Okay, bye-bye.
40 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. We are going to be doing taxes next week as well. I know there's always tax questions. We are doing real estate questions as well, New Year's resolutions, personal and financial, let's put it that way, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. Linda joins us on the line from Macon. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Lee. I have a New Year's resolution to get my finances in order, and they're in quite a state of disarray.
How did, well, let's tell me how that happened. How did they get in such a state of disarray?
I think I was just working so hard to make the money that as things took place, I didn't keep up.
So when you say they're in disarray, how bad is it?
Well,
just let me know.
It's just money that I'm probably losing. For example, what I wanted to ask you today is I'm retired, and in March I went back to work as an independent contractor. So I need to know where I can find a resource to come up with all the tax benefits I can take from being an independent contractor. For example, should I file an LLC, and how to take eligible deductions for like a room in my house as an office, and
right.
And of course my mileage, because I do quite a bit of driving in this contractor job that I'm doing.
So let's talk about this for a moment, because this is really important. There are so many people out there like you who maybe they didn't officially retire from their jobs, but they were fired, laid off, and they had to come back as contract workers. And so with a contract worker, which is known in the industry as a 1099, right, versus a W-2. So 1099 means it's just the form that the employer files for you, and then you're responsible for all of your taxes. So there are some basic things that you have to do. Now, it's your first year, so as long as you're making the same tax payment as last year, you'll be okay. But you need to make estimated tax payments 4 times a year. And against your income, you get to write off things like mileage and office supplies. You can take an office deduction for your house, although that has some ramifications. If you rent, it's not a big deal. If you own, when you sell, that portion that you've taken as the write-off for the home office deduction, that then becomes kind of a commercial part of your property, and that can really affect taxes when you sell the property down the line. So something to talk to a tax professional about, just for your particular situation. One of the resources that I have for you that I think is very helpful is the IRS form 1099-MISC. So if you go to irs.gov and you just type in 1099-MISC for miscellaneous or 1099 instruction, that will give you all of the information about being a 1099 and what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do.
Oh, great.
So
okay.
That's the place that I would start. Now, since this is a new thing for you, do you do your taxes on TurboTax? Do you take them to somebody? How do you manage?
I take them to an accountant.
Okay. So your accountant is going to say to you, what are all the expenses that you had this year with regard to your income? So you would say, well, I bought some envelopes and I paid, you know, I drove this many miles, important to track your mileage. And I did, I had to fly somewhere, I had to pay the cost of that, I had to buy lunch for somebody. So you're going to make a list of all of those expenses, and really you should start keeping it. If you're going to do this for a long time and you're going to need to track those, you're going to probably want to come up with a system for it. I like, using QuickBooks, which is really easy, but and there's a simplified version of it that you might want to use, or you could probably just do it on Quicken. And there's a free version of Quicken, and then there's the more, you know, beefed up version. Not expensive, but it allows you to truly track everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to get your finances in order, Linda, which is what you told me you really want to do this year, having a little software help is going to give you a lot of leverage and a lot of power. So I would think about getting a copy of Quicken this year. Maybe you can ask for it for the holidays from your children or grandchildren or a friend or something. And I would start entering everything in there, because what that will allow you to do is track your accounts, your investment accounts, your checking account, your savings account, the money that you're using specifically for the business versus not, and you'll be able to keep it more clear. Now, one thing I would, here's a tip for you. You may want to get a credit card just for these business expenses, right? So when you go to Office Depot and you buy some envelopes, if that's what you need, or you're using your computer, you need a new computer exclusively for business, you buy it with this credit card, and it makes it so much easier to track what those expenses are every month.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's what we do in our house. And then now that we have the business, ThinkLink Publishing, we have a separate credit card for that. You know, Sam has been managing his office. You know, he's a solo practitioner lawyer part-time when he's not working on our business together. So he manages that on Quicken. We use QuickBooks for the business. It's a great way to go. And when it comes to doing your taxes, your accountant's going to be really happy.
Yes, yes. And one other thing, excuse me, I inherited about 4 years ago about $100,000 in e-bonds from a relative, and I've done nothing with them other than make sure they have not come up with their maturity date. Where can I get information that tells me whether these are e-bonds that continue to draw interest or if they just come to a dead stop on their maturity date?
Well, I think you would probably go to treasury.gov.
Okay.
To start. So I'm typing that into my trusty laptop right now because I didn't know you were going to ask about that, or I would have done it ahead of time.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. It's, you know, Chris, it's Crystal. You know, she's just sleeping through the show instead of finding out all the information. No, Siri, she does a great job. So seriously, I think you would probably start at treasury.gov. There's another site for bonds, but I think you can get to it through the Resource Center. And I'll tell you what, I will go find it during the next commercial break, and I will post it online. And then you can, and I'll talk about it on the air as well, so you can do it. I have to go look up what the actual... I haven't thought about bonds in a while since they're such a terrible thing, mostly. But I will find that out for you, and I'll announce it on the air, and I'll also post it on Twitter so that everybody else can find out as well, all right?
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Have a very happy holiday. It's 48 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Elaine joins us on the line from Gainesville. Hi, Elaine. Happy holidays.
Hi. Happy holidays to you as well.
Thanks. What's on your mind?
I have two questions. I'm a realtor, and I have several clients who are trying to participate in the HARP and the HAMP programs, but they don't think it's going to happen before the end of the year. Since this may go away for the forgiveness at the end of 2012, if they don't get it accepted until 2013, are they going to owe the tax?
Okay, so HARP, which is the Home Affordable Refinance Program,
yes,
doesn't often have a reduction of principal owed. It's usually you just do, you're underwater, but they let you refinance.
Oh, okay. So, I thought they were going to take some of it off, so that's not bad.
Yeah, no, it's not your bad. It's very confusing, and some people may, but most people won't. Now, the Home Affordable Mortgage Program, which is HAMP, there could be some forgiveness. And, yes, they would owe taxes if Congress doesn't get this in order. Because it has to be done before the end of the year unless they extend the deadline, which, given how things are going in D.C. right now, I don't know about you. I just keep waiting for the grown-ups to show up, shake hands, and get this done. Doesn't seem to be happening yet.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They will owe taxes, and it could be devastating for millions of Americans. Because think about the scale, Elaine, right?
Yes.
You've got a million people who now are getting a write-down of $50,000, right? Mm-hmm. So the number is just sort of unimaginable, right? It's like $50 billion And those people aren't going to be able to pay those taxes because they don't have any money, or they would have paid their mortgage to begin with.
Yeah, they're going to be in the same situation they're in now.
They are going to be. They are going to be in the same boat, and the and we are going to see that when you get to that kind of scale where a million or 2 million people can't pay their taxes, and then they get liens, and then they get wage garnishments, and all, whatever else is going to happen from this, it's not going to be good for the economy. What's your second question?
I heard last week when I turned on the radio, I was catching you at the very end of your program, and I believe that I heard you say 2013 was going to be a better year. And since we are teetering on the edge of this fiscal cliff, I wondered why, and I apologize if you said before I came on.
Well, so where we got to last week was a little bit more optimism in whether the grown-ups were going to show up. So I think I was projecting that. But even without that, yes, I do think we are headed into... All right, so let me just be really clear about this. Should we go over the fiscal cliff, I think we're going to head into recession.
Yes.
The question is, do we head into a really deep, dark, horrible recession like 08 and 09, or do we head into something that's sort of more moderate recession that we come out of faster? That's kind of where I see 2013. But by the end of 2013 and into 2014, I do see some of the strengths that we have been seeing move along continue to get stronger and continue to move along. So it's going to depend. Last week, I was a little more hopeful. This week, again, grown-ups, hello.
Yeah.
Get to D.C., shake hands, and let's get going here. But it's going to depend on how it is. Now, we keep hearing President Obama say we're not going to go over the fiscal cliff, or if we do, it won't be for very long. Okay. Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. But yes, I do see us moving by the end of 2013 and 2014 into a better place. And I'm going to hope that, because I think more people are going to do better. We've processed many more of these foreclosures. We're through those. Most of those are now through the system. So I do think that some of these key things are going to be better. Do I think it's going to be a lot better for a lot of people? I don't know yet. We got to see what happens with the fiscal cliff. All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, more of your questions, 404-872-0750. Elaine, happy holidays. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. I'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
It's 58 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB, I'm Elise Glink. So we are talking taxes, although we're going to have a whole tax show next week. So you want to save up for next week. And really what we're going to look at is what happens with the fiscal cliff one way or the other and how you can prep for it. Because as I said earlier, it seems to me that the IRS is no way, no how going to get all the forms ready for January. So we'll talk to you about what you're going to have to do if that is the case, because that's what our tax experts are saying. So we'll do that. Next week, we're going to talk today more about New Year's resolutions. I would love to know what yours are. 404-872-0750 or tweet me. I am at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. And we'll see what else we get to here on the Elise Glink Show. So stay tuned. I'll be back in a couple of minutes right after news, weather, and traffic. And then we've got a whole bunch of calls. We are going to plow through all of them so I can help as many people as I can before the end of the year. 404-872-0750. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
And goodies on his sleigh.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750 News Talk WSB.
It's 12:07 on News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks for joining me today. December 16th. Wow. How did we get here so soon? Happy holidays, everybody. 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online all the time, even when I'm not there. ThinkGlink.com. ThinkGlink.com. While you're there, sign up for the free weekly newsletter. That is going to be your place to find out all the great deals for our spring event. We're going to be officially announcing it with the date in January, right when everybody comes back from the holidays. So watch out for that. And we are, it's very exciting what we're going to do. So stay tuned. Also, Twitter, follow me at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. I'm tweeting out some of the information that we're talking about today, just so there's a record of it up there. Hope you can take advantage of it, and if not, well, we'll chat about that as well. 404-872-0750, that's our number. Let's go back to the phones. We have Barry on the phone. Hey, Barry, welcome to the program.
Hey, Elise, thank you for taking my call.
Sure, what's going on?
It's been a rough year. After 14 years of running my own business, I had to shut it down in December of last year.
What happened?
It was a transportation business and Homeland Security with Twic cards and customers not wanting to pay escort fees and things like that, and it just got to be too troublesome.
I'm sorry about that.
Throughout the 14 years, I had a $100,000 line of credit. I have a $50,000 amount that is due, and I think the line of credit letter is coming due in February.
All right.
I have no more revenue coming in. The only thing that I have to draw off of is a rollover IRA. And I just wondered what tax penalties am I looking at as if I have to go that route to try to take care of that line of credit.
So do you have any other cash anywhere?
Not near the amount that I need to try to take care of this. And, I mean, the bank may come back and, you know, do some kind of a payment plan. I did not file bankruptcy. I was instructed from a couple of different bankruptcy attorneys that if I did, that line of credit would still be due. And, you know, I was going to have to pay it regardless. So I'm just looking to try to get it all behind me. And, but, you know, I do have a rollover IRA that I've had for probably 30 years.
Well, let me ask a couple of questions. First, let me just say my condolences on the loss of your business, because it's such a big part of your identity.
Yep.
And losing that after 14 years, I mean, most businesses fail in the first year.
Yeah.
If you make it to year two, you've got about an 85 to 90% chance of making it forever.
Yep.
And there you were, 14 years, running your own business, paying your taxes, being a good corporate citizen, enjoying the fruits of your labor, only to have it come and kick you in the gut with regulation and security issues. And really, I'm sure the economy played no small part in this.
Exactly.
So you're in a tough situation. I appreciate that you want to figure out a way to pay this off. And ideally, the bank would put you on some sort of payment plan. Are you over the age of 59 and a half?
No, I'm 53.
Okay. So if you drew down your Roth, your IRA, your rollover IRA, in addition to the taxes you owe, you'll also pay penalties of 10%.
Okay.
So if you need $50,000, that's a $5,000 hit, plus, you know, whatever that puts you into for your, you know, the amount that you actually would owe for taxes. I don't know, maybe, you know, 25, 30%, whatever that. If you had any income whatsoever at all, maybe you didn't, so maybe it's very, very low in terms of taxes owed. But that's kind of the worst of it, $5,000. I mean, what I think is worse is that it's, you know, your retirement money is now down by half. Have you found any other work this year?
Yes, I am. I'm working at the present time, making around $50,000 a year.
Okay.
My question, I guess, too, is if I do take the, say, $52,000 out of my rollover IRA, that would be added income?
Yes.
On taxes for next year or a year after, depending on when that's taken out?
Exactly. So if it's due, if you have to make the payment in February and you take it out in February, the following April 15th, you would have to make the tax payment on it.
Okay.
You probably could just simply adjust your withholdings during the year.
Yeah.
So that you.
And
you
I was
don't
wondering, too, is if I do go that route and I do take the money out of the rollover IRA, do they take the taxes out from. It's with Fidelity.
Yep.
Would Fidelity take the taxes that are due out of the total amount of my revenue?
They probably would take out 20%.
Okay.
But I'm not sure about that. You'd have to ask them and sort of say, well, I'm paying it separately. I don't want to pay it out of these funds. I want to pay it separately out of other funds. And they may say, well, when you take this out, we have to do it. So I'm not really sure what their procedure is. My sense is they probably do make a 20% payment, and then you would just get that back.
Yeah.
But you just don't want the money coming out of there, right? So if you have you have some time to plan, right? The best would be is if they give you a payment plan.
Yeah.
So that you can kind of make those payments in smaller amounts, right,
yeah,
over the course of the next year or so. Or at least take $20,000, $25,000, you've got some cash and, you know, out of your paycheck, and then you only have to take $25,000 out. That would be better because that's going to reduce the 10% penalty.
Exactly.
So that would be the way to do it, to try and figure out a way to take the least amount out of that IRA so that you're paying the least amount in the penalties and the taxes and all the rest. And then it'll all sort itself out. It's just going to take till 2014 or something.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate it, and I'll probably end up talking with Fidelity and with the bank and see which may be the best alternative.
I think that's good, and being up front with your bank is probably the easiest way to go, although it's the hardest, right, personally,
yeah,
emotionally, because you have to sort of talk about the failure part of it.
Yep.
But at least you're not hiding. You don't have your head in the sand. You're facing it, you know, with strength and grace. And sometimes in a bad situation, Barry, that's all you got.
Yep. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I hope next year is a better year for you, too. 14 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Ronnie joins us on the line. Hey, Ronnie, happy holidays.
Hey, how you doing? Happy holidays to you.
Good, thanks.
I was calling to try to get some insight on being a first-time home buyer and the fiscal cliff is approaching fast. Is it best to pull the trigger on buying a home now, just give it a little more time next year and see what's available?
You know, I don't think that there's a bad time to buy a house right now. Mortgage interest rates are just record lows. If you've got great credit, you've got cash for down payment, and you find the right deal, I don't know why you would wait.
Okay.
I mean, I think, you know, it's funny. Week in, week out, people ask me, do you think interest rates are going to go down further? And we're already at near zero. The Fed actually changed its stance this week slightly, which is sort of interesting. They had been saying they're not going to move interest rates till mid-2015. They were going to hold them near zero through 2015. And let me just say that's almost two more years, which just tells you how lousy our economy really is. But now they've changed it to say we're not going to hold it near zero once we see the unemployment rate get to 6.5%. Well, we're well above that now, but this is the first time they've tied it to economic performance data as opposed to just a timeline. So in terms of mortgage interest rate, you've got time. Deals, you know, maybe in your neighborhood things are already turning around and there's not that many properties in the market. Maybe next year in that neighborhood there'll be more properties in the market. Maybe next year you'll have saved more money, but maybe prices will have gone up a little bit. So waiting doesn't necessarily mean a better deal. So go out and find your team and look for the deal that you want that makes sense in your life. When you buy a home, it's a huge commitment. So take the time, look at 100 houses if you have to. Try and find something that makes economic sense and emotional sense for you. And when you do, don't think there's going to be just another better house down the line. There will be, but then you never jump off the fence. If you find a good deal, it's the right deal, the right neighborhood, the right money, do it. Go buy a house. It's a really good thing to do. 404-872-0750 is our number. Eric joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Elise.
So what's going on in your world today?
Well, I heard you talking about the physical cliff, and I was just going, and it seems like everybody's scared of it, but you forgot the folks that already have been over it. Like myself, I lost my business like your caller before the other caller. I lost my business, my three rental properties, my own home, and a
wow.
truck. But, you know, I'm happy. I'm a gay white man living in the hood, and it's really not that bad. And as for everybody else, I'm ready for the physical cliff to drop. I want to see taxes going up. I want to see major slashes in the fiscal budget. I think we've been riding on this roller coaster for too long, and people need to realize you can't drive a Bentley on a, you know, a regular middle class salary. And if that means some more people have to come down the hood, there's lots of room. Come on down, you know.
Well, I love your attitude. So what have you been doing since 2009 when you lost your business?
Well, one good thing is I'm still in the National Guard, so I can kind of be somewhat open.
Uh-huh.
I've had a couple of tours over in the Middle East. I came back, and I refused to work below a certain level. If they're not going to pay me what I know I'm worth, I don't work for these people. I figure the employers now, they want you to bend over and kiss their butt, and I'm not going to do it. You know, I have done a great job for several companies, and they've lost out just as much as I have. So, you know, it's like my rental properties. The best thing about it was is I had them with Wachovia, and then they lost their butt. So it was kind of like a poetic justice, if you will. And
oh, God, there were so many people who lost out with Wachovia. There's been so much. You know, Eric, you make a good point. I really should spend some time just kind of recounting for everybody from whence we've come since 2007, because, wow, I haven't thought about Wachovia in at least like 6 months.
Well, the best thing about Wachovia is when they did take the house, I just dropped all my insurance on all the properties, and we had that real bad windstorm in that November, December. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
I think it was in 2009. Anyways, the best thing that ever happened to me was when this huge pine tree came out and slammed right into the house and kind of almost sliced it. My renters were already gone. So I took the picture and I sent it to the Wachovia president. I don't know who it was. I didn't really give a rat's butt. But anyways, you know, there's a pine tree in your house, dude. You need to go get it.
Well, I'm very glad that you were able to get a little perverse joy out of that. But, you know, Eric, when you think about kind of where we are with the fiscal cliff, the one thing that troubles me, and I say this because you're making fun and you've been through such devastation, and I can hear in your voice that, you know, you've come a long way, baby, right? But it was a really tough slog, and there are a lot of people like you who still aren't back to where they were 6-7 years ago. And when you think about your life and how you like to have forward momentum and progress, to have that kind of backward rolling or to be in stasis for 7 years and not move forward is absolutely devastating. So my New Year's resolution for you is that you find new and creative ways to get companies to pay you what you think you're worth. But my hope for this holiday season for you is that the peace and happiness you think you found, that you really feel it deep down inside, and that it becomes a more satisfying year for you and for the other 700,000 people in Atlanta who are walking the same mile that you are. All right, we've got a prize pack we're going to give away next, 404-872-0750. If you've got a question for me or tweet it, I'll be back in a moment with more. This is the Elise Glink Show on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
That's just one thing I need. Don't care about
this. All right, we have the WSB McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack. Great value, $289. But listen to what it includes. A pair of Win It Before You Buy It tickets to see Fleetwood Mac. I love Fleetwood Mac in concert June 10th. Plenty of time to plan ahead. At Phillips Arena, produced by Live Nation. And you get a synthetic oil change courtesy of Braxton Automotive. That is the prize pack this week, $289. Hope you can beat out Crystal. Oh, wait, she has to answer your calls for it. She loves concerts. We're going to take the fifth caller at 404-741-0750, 404-741-0750. Good luck. If you are a Fleetwood Mac aficionado, this is the prize pack for you. Can't use it till June 10th, but so what? That's a lot of great planning. All right, when we come back, we've got another half hour of your questions. Don't forget the tax show next week. We'll talk about New Year's resolutions and a Christmas wish for everybody. I'm Elise Glink. You're listening to News Talk, WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM. News Talk, WSB.
Had a very shiny nose.
And if you ever saw it,
you would even say it glows.
36 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. What a cute rendition of that song. 404-872-0750 or online Twitter. Tweet me at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. I got an email from Mark, or a tweet from Mark. He said he is doing his power walk and listening to the show this morning, and he was at the Clark Howard Toy Warehouse yesterday helping out, and he says, imagine a football field chock full of toys. What an amazing place. And his New Year's resolution, volunteering, mentoring, helping out his fellow Americans more in multiple ways. More power to you, Mark, especially on your power walk, and I hope you have a happy New Year. 404-872-0750 on the Elise Glink Show. Don't forget to check out the Equifax Finance blog, which is all great places. You're a great place to go for great information. We also have tons of content on CBS News Money Watch. That's the home equity blog, and then also at Yahoo, all of which you can find if you just sign up for the free weekly newsletter at thinkglink.com. All right, let's go back to the phones. Latasha joins us on the line from Jonesboro. Hi, Latasha.
How you doing?
I'm good. Happy holidays to you.
To you, too.
Thank you. What's on your mind today?
I have a question. My husband inherited some land from his grandmother who owned it, was paying taxes on it since 1947, 10 acres of land. We just caught the taxes up and learned that there's no deed.
Okay, so when you say there's no deed, so first of all, when did, my condolences, when did she pass away?
It's been about 5 years now.
Five years. Okay, and so you found out, your husband found out that the taxes were, she was in arrears on the taxes, somebody had bought them, and he's paid those off.
No, no one had bought them.
Nobody bought them, but he was, she was behind, so you paid them back.
Right.
Okay, so who was the executor of the estate?
His aunt.
Okay, so is the estate now closed?
Yes, she, well, yes. And she came to us and let us know that she could no longer pay him. Could we take over? We said yes. By the grace of God, we was able to do it. It wasn't us, it was definitely him. So we paid it, and we wanted to see about putting a transitional shelter on the property, and that's how we learned there's no deed. We was trying to move forward and putting it in our name.
Okay, so it's not really that there isn't a deed per se, it's that the executor, the aunt, she must have inherited it, and then she wanted to, you to take it over?
Correct.
So she needs to, or she can get a real estate attorney to do this, or maybe just the escrow company. She needs to put in place a motion to transfer to you the ownership of the property. And she can do that with a quick claim deed, or there's other kinds of deeds that might be better. But she has to put that in motion because she still owns it, even though your husband paid the taxes on it.
So even though the tax commissioner is saying there's no record, you know, they can't find the deed that has been deeded in his grandmother's name, it's still...
Well, who owns the property?
That's what they're saying. They don't have...
Anything. They don't know who owns the property?
Right.
Well, okay. So this is... Your real question is, how do you prove that the grandmother owned the property that she held title to? And the way that you do that is you hire a real estate attorney or you go to a title company, and they do something called research the title. Okay?
Research the title.
They research the title. And when they research the title, they look at the chain, what's known as the chain of title, who owned it, who sold it to who then inherited it, who came forward, blah, blah, blah. All the way back to the beginning when the land was first purchased from the government or granted or whatever it was.
Okay.
So that's what you need to have done.
And you said a real estate attorney or...
A real estate attorney, or maybe you can just go through the title company and have the title company itself research it.
Okay.
And that's how you do. And don't worry about like a piece of paper at this moment. What you need to do is start by proving the grandmother actually owned the land.
Mm-hmm. And so has she been paying on it since 1947? The tax commissioner, he's a very nice gentleman, been working with us on it. And he said he sees where she's been paying on it all this time. However, when it came time to transfer the information over, there was nothing they could do.
Okay. Well, he needs a little more help. And you're going to give it to him in the form of a title insurance officer, escrow company, and they're going to help you figure out who actually owned it. If she paid taxes on property she didn't own but for 47 years and she lived on it, there's probably, you know, other ways to ensure that she actually owns that property now. But a real estate attorney would have to get involved there. So start with, you can call a real estate attorney and get some more information, or you can go to a title company. Choose a big brand name one.
You recommend anyone?
I don't recommend individual title companies because, you know, but the big ones are like, you know, Chicago Title and Trust is, I think, you know, one of the biggest in the country. Go find a really big one, or go to the local or your Atlanta Bar Association and ask for the head of the real estate the real estate committee, and then call that person and tell them your story, and they'll give you some recommendations of real estate attorneys who can help you. You want somebody who really does this a lot and understands how to do it.
Okay.
Because that's how you're going to get it done quickly and for the least amount of money. But you have to secure ownership of the property.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Latasha. Happy holidays to you and a happy 2013. 42 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with our calls. Rohit joins us on the line from Lawrenceville. Hey, so you've got a question about a small business loan?
Yeah, so ma'am, actually we just started a business, trucking business, and we are looking for a small amount of loan to help us in the business, you know, the flow of money. So just wondering, that is there any kind of SBA loan available for small businesses?
The Small Business Administration, that's exactly what they do. They loan money to people like you to keep it going, but it could take you 6 to 9 months to actually get through the process. Have you tried a commercial loan?
No, ma'am. Actually, they said that they need 2 years of tax returns for the business because it's very new. We just opened 2 months back.
Right. So there, I don't know who you talk to, but there are some banks, lenders out there that may help you based on other income you have had. You may also want to try an online lender like Prosper.com or Lending Club. They do loans. And they may be able to help get, you know, for small amounts of money. I don't know what you need. I mean, but there, I think they're up to like $20,000-$25,000.
Yeah, that's what we need.
So if you go to prosper.com or lendingclub.com, they'll do online lending. And what they do is they break it up and people bid on how much they're willing to take for interest.
Okay.
And then they sort of pull that together, and every, you know, it's like, I'll give $500 for this if I get 6%, and I'll give $1,000 if I get 8%. Right? It's people bid on the opportunity.
Okay.
And then you get the money from them, and then you just go forward. The other thing you might want to do is look to family members and see if you can borrow that $25,000 from a couple of different family members, because that, of course, is going to be their money's not making anything in a bank. And if they know you and they think the prospects of the business are good, and you can pay them 5 or 7%, you're going to save money and they're going to make a lot more money.
Yeah, like I have the money, like I have $20,000-$25,000 in savings, but I was not spending them. I want to keep them for the safety. So that's why we were looking for some loan so that we can it's not needed. It's just in case needed.
Well, then I think you got in case needed money. Right?
I have $20,000-$25,000 with me.
So, you know, really you should be looking if your family and friends can invest or want to. And then I would go to a company like Prosper.com or LendingClub.com, because you don't want to pay interest on money you don't actually need.
Yeah.
You do want to have a reserve, which you have, and you want to have a backup to that reserve.
Yeah, that's what we need, the backup.
Right. So that's a really smart plan, and I think it's good that you're thinking about it like that. But I want you to realize that You know, going there are different levels of lending. I mean, if you want to look for a Small Business Administration loan, it's probably a good thing, but that's 6 to 9 months out.
Okay.
So you're going to want to go through that process. The other place that I always recommend for small business lending and small business, you know, connections mm-hmm. is a place called SCORE, SCORE.org. And they have local chapters, and you get a mentor who's been in your industry who can help connect you with things. It's like retired executives come together, and they help mentor another generation of workers. So if you've got a trucking business, maybe you'll get somebody who owned a trucking business. Okay. Maybe they'll want to invest with you. But if not, they'll be able to lead you down to different people who might want to invest or who might want to be that backstop for you, or they may have ways for you to build that business.
Okay.
So you, networking is one of the key things, the key differentiators, I believe, for business. My own business is growing because of networking I've done over the years, people I've stayed in contact with, you know, they remember us,
yeah.
You know, you're back in touch with them. Uh-huh. That's what SCORE does. They keep you networking with companies and people who can help you build your business.
Okay, ma'am. Okay, thanks so much, ma'am.
You're welcome. Good luck with it. I hope it's a great 2013. 47 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. We've got a call, line 4. Welcome to the program. I don't know what your name is. It's not popping up on my screen. Who am I talking to?
Hello?
Hello? You're on the air with Elise Klink. Who is this?
Hi, my name is Chris.
Hi, Chris. What's going on in your world?
Well, actually, I was hoping you could comment on Section 8 tax credit and rental property. Actually, I have a hard time getting any news person or politician to talk about it, and I'm in the industry, but on the far right, owners are getting tax credit, and then the many of the renters are getting, you know, a break with entitlements, and it's very outdated, and they don't need to show a tax return, they don't need to show what kind of car they're driving, you're penalized for being full-time students, and, you know, just no one seems to want to talk about it on the right or the left, and you've had decades of Republicans and Democrats who could have possibly addressed it, but it seems it's $1 billion of stuff, and it's just there's stuff on both sides, and I just don't know why no one seems to want to talk about it.
Well, I think nobody's talking about Section 8 or the low-income housing tax credit simply because there are so many other things that are going on that are so much more insane at the moment. It's just not at the top of anybody's list. I don't even think it's in the top 50. I haven't heard any conversation in D.C. about Section 8 at the moment.
Yeah.
Because there's just so many other bigger things. And what they're doing in terms of getting... So Section 8 used to be a way to get developers to buy property and renovate it and, you know, do something in lower-income areas.
Right.
But what's happened now is that those properties are so low-priced because their prices have depreciated so much because of this recession. I'm not even sure Section 8 is needed at the moment to get right. investors in there and buying them. I mean, they're scooping up properties for $5,000 and $10,000 a piece.
Right.
How much more incentive do you need?
Right. But even like Atlantic Station, you know, that whole thing, those apartments were on a bond finance. And, you know, it's just something that you have people who are working full-time and going to school and have, you know, and then that's used against them, and it's all, you can make, you know, 28.8 for one person and 33.3 for two, but, you know, if one isn't working, so you both can be making, you know, $8 an hour and get in, and a lot of people don't know about it, you know, so it's not, like, advertised greatly, and then, you know, to get the whole nine yards and all the nice things, and then you can be making $30,000 in 1 year and in 4 years, $120,000, and from what I can tell, no one's ever kicked out, and it's just, so there are many loopholes, and it's just allowed with the system, and it just seems like, you know, there could be changes, you know. And
there could be changes in a lot of things. I don't know. It's such a small number, right? Let's say you fix Section 8, and let's say, you know, it affects 0.0001% of the population, right? It's such a small line item. It's not going to affect the budget deficit. It's not really going to affect what we're doing. I think on a local level it's important, but there's, you know, nationally, HUD is so preoccupied with what's going on a really big scale, with millions and millions of people going through foreclosure and millions of people trying to modify loans, there's no bandwidth left for this. But it's an important issue. Maybe 2013, 2014, 2015, it'll come back again when all of us have more time and we can actually focus on it. And I hope so. It's 12:50 on the Elyse Glenk Show. Stay tuned. We're going to come back, take a few more questions next on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglenk.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
You can say there's no such thing as Santa.
Funny song.
That's for me and Grandpa, we believe.
I'm Elyse Glenk. It's 56 minutes past the hour on News Talk WSB. Thanks for joining me today. December 16th. So it's the end of the year. We got a bunch of things to do for you before then. Next week is our tax show, year-end tax show. We've got Bill, Mary, and Chet coming in, and we're going to talk about some things that you need to do before the end of the year to make the most and pay the less. Make the most of your tax situation, pay the least amount next April 15th. So we want to go through those with you. So we're going to spend quite a bit of time on that next week. And, of course, there's so much up in the air with the fiscal cliff. We've had a lot of questions today about it. It's clear that, I don't know, when the grown-ups are showing up, hopefully they show up this week in D.C., shake hands, get to the business of making this country run. Kind of concerned about that. So we'll kind of cover what we can for the show and then try and give you a perspective of where it is you need to be thinking in terms of whatever happens. We don't know yet which way this is going to go. And my concern is that we have to have you do things that we know are going to be true, right? So we know that you're going to want to open up a Roth IRA before the end of the year. Right, we know you're going to want to make certain kinds of payments before the end of the year. We know you might want to push forward on a mortgage payment, bring that into this year. We know for this year you'd want to maximize your income because I am sure that for most people, taxes are going up next year. So if you can maximize your income this year and push forward so you pay less next year, less for, you know, this year overall, that's what we want. So tune in next week, 11 o'clock. We're going to talk about taxes and year-end things that you need to do in order to maximize your financial situation. And I'm sure we'll throw in a few New Year's resolutions as well. I didn't spend enough time talking about that this year, this week. But I will, for next week, give you a guiding view on what I think is going to happen for real estate in 2013 and how you can be a part of it. And who knows? Maybe by next week we'll even have our date ready for the April event. Although I don't think so. Maybe not yet. Maybe not till January. All right, the music's starting. That means our time is up. I hope you have a good week. I hit the stores yesterday. What a nightmare that was. Big deal here. Big thought. Do your shopping online for the holiday season. All right, have a great week, everybody. I'll see you again next Sunday at 11 for our tax show. Take it easy.